council meeting to order. Everybody would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Make council aware, this first we are holding the council meeting with current council members and Mr. Lund, who is in Florida. So he is with us on the big screen there. He can hear us through the computer here and see us through the other computer there. So this is a first for us, so we are going through with trying the old Skype, so that way Chris can stay in touch with what's going on in the city of Hamburg. So, sorry to interrupt, but Mayor, if you want to...
That's fine. We'll move on to public comment. I'm assuming everybody else has got on the agenda. We'll move on to the agenda review, if there's anything to be added.
Did I get any of the printouts? I don't have any of the...
You don't have...
Nothing. I don't have an
you
agenda.
You don't have a packet at all?
Nope.
Here, let me give you mine.
Well, you've got an agenda here, don't you?
That is original. What was added?
The delinquency report and the March.
All right, so we got updated delinquency report and updated April claims list. The only additions, and then also the nuisance complaint list. So if you have any additions for that nuisance complaint list, please let us know.
Did we get a nuisance complaint list? Go ahead.
Did you hand out nuisance complaint list, Tamara?
I think I have extras on my desk.
I didn't get one either.
Okay.
Well, we can. Is there any other additions to the consent agenda or to the agenda review?
I guess I'd like to pull the approval of the minutes for September, October, November, December. I don't have to read them on the other consent.
Sure. Last week.
Wednesday.
Okay, we can take that off. So we remove the minutes from the consent agenda.
Anything else? Or does it look for a motion to put the added items and to adopt the agenda?
Motion.
Who did?
Oh, second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda with the additions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now we'll move on to the consent agenda with the minutes to be deleted till next month and with the updates as stated.
And also with the consent agenda, one addition, it would like to make Greg, the 15th, you've asked, Mr. Schultz has asked for an additional day on the funeral to attend a personal matter.
Oh, for Friday?
Yeah. For the funeral.
Any other comments? Otherwise, I'd look for a...
Same thing, it's Tuesday nights. We discussed that last year about how we went from Thursday then to Wednesday and now we're on Tuesday. But basically it seems like if you want Thursday or Friday or closer to the weekend, you pay a premium. So.
All right. Anything else pertaining to consent agenda, or is I'm looking for a motion?
So moved.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the fire department report.
Obviously, I'm not Justin. Justin has daughter has a birthday today, so he's not here. So I'm Chief 3, Chris Petz. So as you're probably aware, I know Justin sent it over earlier. This actually probably yesterday was that this is Severe Weather Awareness Week. So we will be posting something here. Our training went a little late last night, so we didn't get a chance to do it last night. But we'll post something here either tonight or tomorrow regarding that. Gary's here to go through the Relief Association, so I can run through the bullet points for the fire department report and turn it over for the Relief Association if that's what you guys would like. Okay. Personnel committee. So the personnel committee is moving along. We've been meeting and reviewing the current laws or the current personnel kind of rules that we have set up and then what we're looking to potentially move to. So that is moving along. Gear washer is installed and it's working. There will be a bill from Home Solutions for $1,299, and we are still waiting on the Hilger's bill. There was, at one point, we did talk about having an electrician out here. We do not need that, and so there will be no bill for any electrical work. So. And then the MSFDA convention, we have two from the department that will be attending. DNR grant, so the DNR does a $5,000 matching grant. We are coming to the point where our air bottles are about at the point where they will drill holes in them. So there's a lifespan on them because they're a composite bottle, so they have basically a shorter use for a shorter lifespan than the older metal ones. So the goal for the DNR grant is to put in for air bottles. If we do get awarded, they match half of, so we would have to pay, it would be like a 50% deal, so we would have to pay $2,500 of that. So we would get $2,500 from the DNR and we would have to pay the other half. The other item on the agenda for the fire department, accident service call that occurred back on January 5th. State Farm, it sounds like you guys have been kind of going back and forth on this a little bit.
Yeah.
Justin and really the fire department stance is, you know, we're not involved in billing at this point. You know, they came back and said they're only going to pay $250 to the property damage limits. We're on the fence.
Yeah. In all my years, I haven't run into this. Usually, you know, it's, they don't have insurance, and that's where you run into the problems. But here they have the insurance, but they're saying State Farm basically has a cap, $250 payable per policy for property damage. So, and we billed $450 because the way our ordinance reads is $450 for the first hour. So that's about what you guys wrote for the call.
Yep.
The only different thing we can do is the council either can accept that. But my suggestion would be first to send a bill to the party
involved.
And try to collect it.
Anyway, he can turn it, he or she can turn it into their.
You know, and maybe they can talk to their, go back to their insurance and see why they're not fitting the full bill. So that'd be my suggestion for now, is that we just send another billing to the.
Do you send
owner.
That, or does the fire department?
I do.
Okay. City.
Yeah, we're not really involved in that.
Yeah. Unless council has any other wishes.
No, proceed with that then.
Okay, city offices. So we have several requests for bids out, and that's in progress. There is an item on here for the 2015 HFD Relief Association Audit Report. You guys aware? We're not aware.
Yeah, and maybe Matt can help us out here a little bit. Matt Voss with Abdu Eichenmeyer, who does our audit for the city. So basically what we have is there's another audit that the city has to get done on the Relief Association and put into our audit.
Okay.
So I don't know if Matt, you maybe want to just give a quick 2 cents on the new Gadsby rulings on that.
Yep. So right now, for how you determine what you have contributed to the fire relief for pension, it has a funding calculation from the state auditor's office, schedule 14. Well, off of national government standards, that's a funding calculation, and so what they want is you can't just rely on that for an opinion of how well you're funded. They want to know from an actuary that's doing a sign-off what your actual liability would be under actuary standards. So it's been ranging between a $1,500 to $2,000 to just get this other evaluation done. To be honest, consistently for how we've been seeing them come up this year, they're showing under those standards better funded than what the OSA reports are, because they have an estimated investment return of 3%. Typically, you're getting 5 to 6. So it's just something just for reporting. It doesn't impact anything what you fund otherwise, but for us to give a clean opinion, which could impact your bonding, your PFA, our recommendation is just get that piece done and you can sign off on it.
So this additional audit, who would be fronting the cost of that?
I guess that's the discussion with council.
So this is in addition to what we're doing now, our audit?
Because we go through the state audit.
And, so yeah. This is a requirement?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with this.
For the city audit. So it's kind of a requirement for the city audit. So
If the departments are a member of PARA, is it still the same thing?
A member of PARA is providing that
info
calculation, and so we're able to, you don't need a second audit. The state's covering that.
Okay.
Chris, how much money
are
you talking?
Around $2,000, $1,500, $2,000.
For you guys, it shouldn't be more than $1,500.
I would think if it's required by the city, then the city should pick up the tab for it.
Yeah, it's required for the city audit.
One way or another, it kind of comes out of the same pocket, doesn't it?
Yeah, relief's a little different than
I mean, it's like
fire department, so.
If it's coming out of the relief, if we're low, the city makes it up.
Yeah.
Now you've got
that's just something new to me. I didn't.
Can you get us some bullet points on it, and we can take it back, and I can take it to our guys that kind of run that piece of it and bounce it?
Yeah, I can do that and see what they would cost. And then I guess, I mean, really it'd be nice to know kind of the council's thoughts on making a motion as to who's fitting the bill.
It'd be interesting for future consideration what that, without having anything done, we don't have enough to say, like, this is okay for standards. Once we have something formal done and it's now comparable to that OSA calculated amount, it's going to say, hey, it's less liability.
Now, yeah, we're already paying for audit, so that's why.
We're going to have an interesting conversation. Like, hey, we're comfortable with it's all a game of materiality for what it would be this year. We don't expect that it would be anything significant that we'd have to get it done every year. So it's not looking like this is a $1,500 cost every year, but that's something that we've got to discuss of what it needs for the city of it to be able to sign off and keep that from being paid.
So is it simply just because you do this, the cities, or is it a state that requires a second audit? Because we're currently paying to have an audit.
And it's not, it's for the city audit, but it's not getting a second audit. It's an actuary just saying, you know, this is all pension fund out of my area of expertise. So I can't say what that estimated liability would be under their actuary calculations. It's kind of like having an insurance adjuster try and say, like, here's your claims for your health insurance. I have no idea how to do that for you. And so you need this other expert to say what this is for the standards. Hey, it's unfortunate. It wasn't totally anticipated. It wasn't anticipated when they wrote the standard. It was all a side product of these fire reviews. It's got its own audit for the Relief Association, but since it only exists because of the fire department, that's how it ends up trickling down to state folks.
Matt, you've got other cities that you do audits that this you've done already?
Yep.
Now, when you go through it, do you see any that it is absorbed by the city?
All because of them, I haven't seen one that's ended up less than what you're already calculating out of the state auditors.
Yeah.
Because you're already close to an asset, what it, how well it's funded. And now you throw in that the actuary gets to use a higher investment return, it ends up being more of an asset. Well, now you have to discuss in other years, hey, we already had this done, why keep incurring the cost? Are you comfortable with it? Maybe it's a every other year kind of thing.
So when is it going to be decided whether it's every other year type of deal? Is it based on your initial findings?
I mean, consistently from what I've seen, like I said, I've seen about a dozen of them, haven't seen one of them come under what is already calculated in the funding ratio.
Yeah. Well, my request still stands if I can get like an elevator speech, bullet points of what's driving it, and then we'll take it back to our guys. And
I have that, yeah. I can just simply forward it to you, Chris.
Anything else on the fire?
All right, so pump testing. Pump testing on engine 11, engine 12 to be done when the vendor has time. We requested that. They're hoping to get it in yet this month. And then the DOT on the engine 11, engine 12, rescue 11 needs to be done. And they're going to try to see when they can fit that into their schedule as well for this year. Those are the items I have. Is there any that I don't have on my agenda list?
Well, the only thing just to mention and put out there, the pork chop dinner on the 17th. What are the hours again? 10 to 2?
I just have one question that the fire department where Gary was on his spiel. I know back in October or so we had talked about getting a fuel card from Quick Trip for non-oxygenated gas. Just wondering where that stands as of right now. We're kind of getting into the peak of grass fire season.
Yeah. Let me look at that. See if I dropped the ball and didn't send it in or I did. I can't recall.
That was one we had a call in.
Is that what it was?
Remember, because it's a commercial, and we couldn't do it over
through
online. It has to talk to us.
I'll look into that and have that before we get into, you know, prime season here.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, if there's nothing else, I'll turn it over to you.
Unless we got any questions.
It brought my attention that one of the offices back here are locked and I guess we can't be able to do something.
Which office?
I don't know which office. I just know that there was one of them locked up. Couldn't be an issue with that. Is there a reason for that or something?
Yeah, I can touch on that if somebody wants to know more about it. There was a company safety meeting up here back in March, Tuesday and Wednesday. And without asking permission of the fire department, someone was left in, Brad Grady was left into our fire department office without talking to any of the chiefs or any of the officers. The chief called me and asked me, and I said, as far as I know, they're probably using it. Brad questioned me the next day why the locks was changed. I said, somebody went in there without our permission. We have our paperwork laying out all over the place. We have petty cash in there. And after the ordeal that the city went through with data privacy, for that office to just be owned or opened up for someone that's not a member of the fire department or a city official, I don't think was in the best interest of the city, so a lot has changed.
Yeah, there's PHI data in there, and so obviously we
should have
been
brought to attention.
I think it was handled the wrong way, though. Basically, it should have got approval from the council.
Yeah.
Because
let's back that up. We should have been also asked.
Yeah.
And we weren't asked. And that I think that's
my fault.
I think that's the root of it.
When Brad asked me about it, well, we've been doing this for 20 years. Well, it doesn't matter if you've been doing it for 20 years. Before, when you were chief, you had the ability to open it up. Once that no longer became an issue, you still called Justin and asked permission. We have no problem with William Miller and Sons using the office. It's just a courtesy call to come. Hey, can we use your office? Can someone come and open it up? Yeah, it's not a problem. Clean up our area so there's nothing laying out.
The biggest thing is making sure that we sterilize the area.
Well, true. Mm-hmm. There's all the private data. I agree.
And then we're just following the whole, you know, the whole data privacy thing that we went through earlier this year. So
I guess it's just the way it came about. On both ends, the way it sounds, you know, it should have gone through here because it's a city building. It doesn't belong, per se, to anybody.
I agree
with
that, but I think there's also a timing. I mean,
true.
Something needed to be done, and so that was because they couldn't wait until they bring it up. So.
Well, you just can't do what you want to do when you have to do.
No, but you can also now just open yourself up to lots of litigation because now if there was PHI sitting out there, now we can have HIPAA lawsuits.
Well,
so there's two sides of the coin.
Let's look at it in the future that
Agreed.
It gets handled.
Agree.
In the proper way.
And as far as the future is concerned, like you said, it is a city office. This is a city building. The space that is required to house the two representatives that sit in there can be taken up by situating a white plastic table in the truck bay or another room. They don't necessarily need an office with a computer. They sit at a table with a piece of paper. You walk out to them. They say, hey, you want your Costco membership? Say, yep, I'm so-and-so. They look at your name. They highlight it, and you walk out. It's 30 seconds per person. You're in an hour or two.
It was just an old habit that happened.
I understand, and that's kind of where we ran into it. And Tamara, she didn't know. You know, it's not her fault, just that's where the fire department stands.
Well, I'll just one thing, if you want to grant a key or whatever you want to do, I've got stuff in there yet for chiefs, and I usually use that copier to make minutes copies for the Chiefs Association. So if they want to grant a key or whatever, that to be determined, I'm asking right now, so we go through the proper channels. I'm not going to break the door.
Okay.
So.
You will bring it up.
So between now and then, if you just want to stop tomorrow or so, I have to make copies for Thursday night.
Alright. What time works for you?
I'll call you.
Alright.
Or you can just leave it with me.
I'll be around tomorrow as well if you need to get
it. And I have a copy of it. Of the keys, so I do have access.
Oh, we'll work it out.
Like I said, I think it was just a habit thing where something I should have caught myself to. Whereas, I think the problem is this.
That the city went through with the data privacy,
totally agree.
We hate to see,
we need to get everything on.
If it was in there, we hate to see it fall back into something like that. And then we go through a whole other
You said went or still continued?
Well, went or continued, however you want to look at it. See the city fall back into something
yeah.
that they're going through or went through.
Right.
Right.
No, I was
going to. At that time, the decision was made right, wrong, or indifferent. That's why it was done.
Right, and I agree with you. Everything should go through the same channels.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Anything else for Gary? You got a spiel?
Gary, Mark,
and then, Gary, before you start, sorry.
What's happening?
Just want to go back to that trip card, quick trip card. Where do we want to keep that? So FD has access, because I believe Greg's probably going to want access to that too. So that's something to think about and let me know.
That will be decided October, November when we're going to get it. It will be in there and he'll have access.
Okay. And just let me know where you guys want to keep it so I know where it is so Greg can access it.
There's a bulletin board just to the
Well, we'll keep, we don't want it on tape, we'll keep that too.
Yeah,
we'll put it there.
Where is it?
On that issue, if you've
got
to talk to him on the phone to get this anyway, go ahead. I will be around with that two cards. One is very permanent, one for city use.
We can do two cards with one account.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they're willing to do that, that's what we'll do.
Gives it a lot of hassle.
Good idea.
Anything else for before?
No, sorry.
Thanks again. Gary Mark, President Hamburg Relief. I'm here to do the amended bylaws of the Hamburg Firefighter Relief Association. And what these are is they're just updated. They were last updated officially in 2010, the whole record. And so I did it over the weekend with a committee. And basically, I get this packet from the state of Minnesota that tells what the bylaws have to be. So I'd be love to share it all with you guys, but I spent months on it. But what I did is I'll get the highlights if you have questions. There's some laws in here that it have to be written so it reflects the family medical leave. So it just says in there that we're compliant with family medical leave. We collected dues as a membership before. That's not required. So we did away with that. We're doing away with that. So it doesn't have paid dues. It was, written in there for $5. Originally, it was one. Most people don't need to do anymore. We did away with it. We did, the other highlights were the vice president never got paid, and that law changed in 2012 that the vice president can be paid also, because they do a lot of coming in and training, and that's the vice president to learn my job when I leave, so somebody else can take it over. And, one of the things I heard from the Oakdale Fire Department, they went to para because they couldn't find anybody to run this. Because it's a frustrating, you guys know how we dealt with the accountants and doing the bylaws and another new law here coming up. You know, para sounds more attractive. But we want to keep it in our community. Jason Smith does a good job running it. So we're trying to get the laws in here. And so the vice president will now be getting $100 a year to do their job. In the back end, and I got an extra copy here.
Something you can give us so we can read it over and approve it next time or whatever?
Yeah, we got an extra copy for the con. So I'm just covering the highlights you can look for. On the back page is, this is the raise that you guys already approved. So this is in here. It's just updated. I send this to the state separate, but we're doing the whole bylaw. So this one's already been approved by you for this year. In addition, we added the extra exhibit, and this is a calculation of how to calculate the payout. And it's a formula. Once we're done with this, we sign it by the president, the treasurer, the financial department chief, and I can send this into the state of Minnesota. And at that time, Michael Johnson, state auditor's office, it says, it looks good, but I can't say it's correct. So then we submit it. Then he comes back and says, yes, that's correct or it's wrong. But he's pretty good at telling. But it has the calculations, how it's paid in here. And it has a statement in there that the members encouraged to consult on tax liabilities prior to payout. That's another thing that's in the book that we're supposed to inform them before they take their payout if there's a tax liability. The family medical leave was in there. And everything else is pretty much in same as it was before from the last meeting. So, and this is the first time I've done this update, but I understand the council approves it, and then we notify the state these are updated bylaws.
Get electronic copy.
Pardon?
Got electronic copy?
We have it on our computer in the office.
Okay, if you could just email it to me, then I could email it to council.
I'm a little old-fashioned. Any questions?
No, you get us that, and then we get that handled.
All right. And we'll send it to you.
Anything else for council for the fire department? Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good night. Let's see. And we'll move on to Mr. Detail. See, now you know why we didn't let you run away.
Well, it's always nice to be around you guys. Get some more knowledge.
Yeah. There's always questions. So basically, we've heard from the residents who were here, and we've talked to Mr. Detelm from last month. Basically, as far as I know, nothing else has changed other than it's to approve the variance request as it's printed.
Right, I think unless there's any discussion or concerns to bring forth, now's the time to do it. Anyone from the public or the council before, you know, the variance would be granted. Like I've said, basically we're looking for a 13-foot variance to the front setback. As we've said, I think the biggest concerns we've gotten from the public is some are, you know, are worried about, you know, the impact that it'll have on their house values, which, I mean, I've looked at the plans. If council wants to, you know, look at the plans, I mean, they look like they're going to be pretty nice duplexes. You know, there's been no talk of, you know, low income or Section 8.
No, I don't have any of that at all.
Going in there, you know, there's some rental concerns that comes with any property. And like I said, the biggest is parking, but I think with the driveway there, it'd
yeah.
be almost
and
a
you,
30
I can
driveway.
Widen that driveway up too, you know, if it, you know, if there's a problem there, it's, we could go up to the easement with the driveway if we had to for an additional parking space, you know, but, you know, they're not big units either, so you haven't got a lot of people living there. I mean, it's a 2-3 person apartment is what it is. And that's kind of where I like to keep my 2-bedroom apartment. And I have very little problem with, you don't have a lot of kids in there, so you don't have a lot of problems. And yeah. And like I said, I've got renters for 20 years already in them, in some of my stuff already that they won't move.
You know, and I think some of the other concerns that have been brought forth in the past and currently, you know, is how far off, you know, the buildings will be off the mm-hmm. street. But if you look along that street,
right,
you know, I know the apartment's only like 23 feet mm-hmm. off the street, mm-hmm. you know.
We basically line up real close, right, pretty much line up with the front of those other ones out, yeah. that are out there with the front of the house.
Yeah, so basically with right of way, and even if you grant the variance, you're still going to have at least 25
Yeah.
you know, to
yeah,
28 feet
yeah.
off the curb. Mm-hmm. So there's still room there. And really, in order to be able to put anything on them lots, we'd almost have to grant some type of variance.
Right. We've got such a big, at Xcel Energy is so big on the back there. It was a 75, 50 or 75, I think.
50 feet.
50, yeah. So that eats up that 100-foot lot. I think it's 105 deep or something like that.
It's 85 deep by 100.
Well, 110 about, yeah.
About 133.
Oh, okay.
132, yeah. roughly.
I'd like to make a motion to grant that variance as written.
There's a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the variance as printed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. One item here, to water and sewer charges. Basically, that was discussed. It's just that we got to make it as a motion.
I've talked to engineers, and really it's up to the city as to what they want to do or how they want to handle that. Really, it's, you know, it's our policies and our streets and... the only concerns that I had from the engineers is usually when you do that, you'll get like at least some type of warranty. So that was one of the things they brought up, of at least having some type of warranty on the work. And then two, defining what will all be done, because we'll be digging into the street. So everything has to be defined as to
right,
as far
because
as
the base in there and everything else. And I understand that. Yeah, we'd stand behind it. I mean, it's a 9-ton road there. We had to put the base in and everything else and get compaction. And, you know, it's no sense not doing it right.
It's his property.
You know, I mean, even in the street, I mean, you might have to buy good sand and rock and put it in there rather than the dirt, because it's such a little amount, you know. What do you, one extra load of material in there, and a good material for, get the compaction right down to the pipe, I don't like doing things twice. I like to first get it done right the first time. If it costs a little more to do it right the first time, it's going to save you money.
Well, when that happens, Greg would probably be there anyway, so.
Yeah, well, you said your maintenance man, he could be there right, you can check us right out, you know what I mean? If you need a compaction test on it, we can have it done, but I'm sure we can get 92% is full compaction. It's not hard to get 100 or 105 when you got good material to pack it in. You know, if I don't know what's in under that street, but I'm sure the base is there. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, so whatever the base is in there, that's what we'll abide by. If it's 10 inches of red rock underneath, we'll put 10 inches back in. So we want to stay good friends with you guys. We might do something else in town.
There you go.
We don't want to get kicked out of town on our first job.
That wouldn't be good.
No.
Does Chris have any input on this?
Chris, any input?
No, I just make sure that our engineers are on board with it.
Yeah, they said it's up to us. They said what we could require is the fact that if they meet engineer specs.
Okay, yeah, we can. That's not a problem. We'll meet or
just so
see.
That the right materials are getting used.
Right. Yeah. We're not going to cheat.
And we kind of have a rough estimate, you know, of material listing from the estimate that our engineers provided.
Yeah, right.
And
so we'll put that in there. That in lieu of that second whack and sack charge. Then. Sound fair with you guys then, like we talked the other night?
I was going to say, what was that we talked about the last meeting? What was the charges or cost on that was going to be?
Well, the discussion was is that instead of the whack and sack charges for the additional...
For the one unit.
You'd be putting
right.
that
put
in.
It. Yeah.
And then it's $3,500 for each... For whack and sack.
Yeah.
So it's like 7,000. So it'd just be
the first
7,000.
Yeah.
So basically what we'd be looking at motion to charge whack and sack, only charge one set of whack and sack charges on the lot for the duplexes, as Mr. D. Talm will put in the water and sewer stubs for the city at his cost per engineer specs.
So make a motion.
Motion made and seconded?
No.
Huh?
It's made. Motion's made.
Yeah, I think you seconded it.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
Motion made and seconded that the whack and sack charges be at the $3,500 each, and the other service would be installed by the purchaser going along with our engineer specs. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Onward.
Now you're
your built.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Tom, nice dealing with you, fellas.
Tom, do you want to stop in then whenever you want to get the permit going?
Yeah, I'll get that. I'll get a site plan for that, too.
Okay.
I know I've got one in that file.
Okay. Perfect.
Because we did stake everything. And,
yeah.
So that we knew what would fit there.
Yeah. Okay.
But, all right. We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Mr. Voss. Greetings.
Good evening, all.
Thank you. I give him a hug for you.
Well, I'm here to present on the audit. I'll be going through the management letter. You've got two books in front of you.
Yep.
One of them is your financial statements. That's be all and all. That's what we're here to give an opinion on. That's your reports. That's your audit. The management letter is just kind of our highlight for point of conversation for tonight, this evening, and communicating and come on, doing that audit.
So it's nice to point out, starting off, is that they say draft on. The reason for that, the only open item, is what you were just talking about earlier, was getting that fire leak evaluation done.
And there were two things I found going through the whole audit.
Really?
Well, one was none of your issues would be in additional accounts payable. So I think we can just do an adjusted journal entry for that, or do you want to just $127? So that's what I thought. And then the other thing really isn't a big issue either. It's just was a coding issue within the general fund, which could stay too, which isn't going to change the bottom line. So I don't know if we really need to make any adjustments. Okay. All right. Yeah, otherwise everything was good.
So, I mean, right now I'm presenting an under the impression we get that, and then we can still keep this as the unmodified opinion. You know, it was nice out of that discussion to hear the other side of it. You know, what's the cost versus the benefits? And,
ultimately, it's just to get that. You know, we don't know what we don't know. That, you know, as PFA for that next loan that you might have to do for utility improvements is some bond rating. You know, potentially, what they say now, if they are comfortable or uncomfortable with having that not done for a clean opinion, 2 years down the road, they might say, yeah, you should get it done. So our recommendation was going into this year, let's get it done, and then we can be able to stamp it later on that, yep, we might not need to do it every year. Let's get it off on the right foot. So that unmodified opinion, that's the cleanest that we can give. You know, it's saying okay. That what Jeremy's given us, what we discuss and have for any adjustments, that the BL and all those numbers are materially stated what they should be.
No complications expected. One piece I do like to point out is that, kind of right in the middle of that first page, we have a little bit of a movement. When you look at internal controls, it's a piece that we talk about every year. We're not coming out here to give an opinion on internal controls. We have to do it to design our audit, but we're not giving an opinion on that, too, to say, hey, everything's clean and great here. But if there's something significant, we note it in here. And so we have a couple items I'll just touch on real briefly here. Starting on pages 2 and 3, and when I say real brief, I say real brief. They're the same as prior year, nothing new. Organization of size isn't going to prepare your own financial statements. Very common for auditors to come in and help put together the report. Considering what you're getting for information, what Jeremy has in QuickBooks, what he does for the work papers, he's getting all the information for us. So, you know, we kind of become a printing company at that point, just putting it together. On this third page, limited segregation of duties, nothing new there. There's hardly an organization out there with, you know, with the budget you have. You know, over $1 million, even $2 million, that you don't see this one. Probably over 95% of the cities your size have this in there. Where I do like to point out, though, for your purposes as council, is on that page 3, that there's a couple of bullets on the bottom, just to be reminded of what you do that helps keep this from being a more significant finding than you're going to hear of it. You know, the checks and balances that are automatically in the city, that you have to approve the claims that come out. That you actually, within the minutes, are approving what was approved in the previous one, and the sequence of the checks, that you cut check 1,000 last month, should be 1,001 in the beginning of this month. And then the other piece is just what you do, approve a budget in December, set your levy, you're getting information throughout the day, and say, how we do it compared to that budget, and be able to measure that. There's a lot of legs. You'd be surprised with when things do come up. Some of this stuff that seems pretty common, but it'll be done. On the outside of that, on page 4, we do have to look at a few other items within a legal compliance standpoint. State auditor requires some various elements. When you go over a bid for the street improvements, for the mill and overlay, what the requirements are with that, for cut checks, for instance. And so within those items, we have two that we have on this page for that. Not significant items, you might not lie about that, but just when it comes to legal compliance, it either is or it isn't. Since we found a couple items, we have them in here. So we know that you already, and we saw it was on your agenda to approve the remaining minutes for 2015 here tonight. The best practice of what the state auditor has in here is that those should be occurring within 30 days of the previous meeting. So that's the best practice for you guys to have them at the very next meeting. Without having them done, it just ends up being out. The bottom one is time period for payment. Nothing significant off of a delay. It's not like they missed a debt payment of $100,000 by half a year or missed it for a whole year, nothing like that. days happened during the leave of absence, which is a pretty insignificant item, but since we came across it, it's no way off. Moving beyond that, page 5. One of the items I mentioned as far as the audit, what was new was that whole pension reporting. You know, we had the fire leave side of it, but we also had the para pension piece all together that we had to implement this year.
And so all of those numbers are in here. So for all the talk that we've had of a couple of years of, hey, this big thing's coming, it added a good 10-plus pages to your financial statements that seemed thick enough the way it was. Makes a heavier paperweight. It doesn't change anything. You know, it doesn't impact your general fund budget. You're still going to contribute what you're going to contribute. The rate stayed the same. But be all, end all that. Your piece of the pie off of it ended up just under $110,000. And again, doesn't change anything of the city's obligation. It's not like issuing a bond. What I will point out with that one, you know, there's a couple bullets in the middle there. For how we get that $110,000, not real fancy, just basically they do a calculation of all the 4,000 employers that are in the state that participate in PARA. What did everybody contribute within their fiscal year, June 30th, 15? What was Hamburg's piece? That's your percentage. Whatever we are for funded, about 80%, you get this $110,000 as your net liability off of our $4 billion liability. To be honest, the one thing I'd like to mention with that, though, too, is Minnesota is one of the top states of how well it is funded, you know, that 80%. There's a few out there that, you know, are over 90. It's not like fire reliefs how, well, a lot of those are 100% or, you know, above the 90%. Minnesota as a state, we're doing pretty well for how much we have set aside. Their goal isn't to be 100% funded. You know, they look at it like a mortgage payment. Hey, if this is what I think I got to pay out over the next 20 years, I'm not going to make everybody that's a current employee pay for that. I'm going to try and set rates to build up there. So they're not concerned with it. And again, and if you have more questions, I can go into more detail, but I'll leave it at that if I can. The piece I do like to point out on the bottom of page 5, there's the second to last paragraph where it goes into corrected, uncorrected misstatements. It's always one of my favorite points to point out that an organization the size of Hamburg has no bullets. There's nothing we're coming in here and having to correct and identify and adjust. Now, we give a lot of credit to your staff for what they do for preparation, where they ask questions during the year, you know, that there is any changes, and we have make sure to have a meeting on the front end when we come out in January to discuss what new is for activity so that we can be on the same page of what's getting accounted for properly. We don't want to come out here having audit adjustments. We would like the relationship the way it is and be on the same page throughout the year. So it shows off here. Job well done. And then page 6, nothing significant, but just FYI on that bottom of it's just kind of been a recurring consideration of best practice. If there's some other policies, procedures, you kind of have us in here that we audit more local governments than anybody in the state. So if there's something that we can point out of a consideration for best practice, that's where this trickles in, that there's a few things that we don't see in place that doesn't mean anything's being done insufficiently. It's just having that documentation. So if anybody's on a leave of absence, is there any, if you have some turnover, is there enough documented for somebody to step in and keep the wheels running smoothly? Page 7. So outside of that stuff, you know, the kind of two focuses when we come out for the audit of, hey, are we doing what we say we should be doing when council sets the policies and procedures? That's where that first half was. Now the second piece I like to kind of hit on highlights is, all right, where'd the numbers end up for the year? You know, how, from what we get for information, does that jive with what you looked at for the audit? So on page 7, one of the main focuses we've had consistently is this benchmark of where are we sitting at the end of the year for the general fund. It's our main operating fund. How are we compared to the next year's budget? Knowing that we're getting a majority of our revenue comes in from taxes, and that doesn't come in until June, just from a cash flow perspective, you want to have, you know, 50% set aside. And then when you're dealing with a smaller budget, the city's been able to do a really good job the last few years of even keeping it 60% or above. You know, it doesn't take much to eat up 10% off of a $500,000 budget. You know, look at what some of the overlay and seal coating just can cost. goes away real quick. So at the end of the year, we're at 45%. We were at 79% in 2014. Doesn't mean let's go screaming for the hills. When you look at this, part of that decreased percentage is what we have for an increase in 2016 for budget. Well, that's for some projects, for some street code, you know, the remaining of this year's project that we'll see on the next page. So when we look on page 8, it kind of shows a better picture of where we got for the decrease in fund balance that is that overall percentage. From what we can tell, looking at that 16 budget, I would expect that that percentage is going to be back to like a 55% and above at the end of 16 if you get pretty good results compared to that next year's budget. So there's a couple of elements here kind of trying to summarize the highlights of overall in your general fund, what your budget was, where do we actually end up, and what's that mean for a variance on the right. Your overall expected pretty much no change in your budget, $614. We had a decrease of $90,000. There's a couple elements. It's not just one variable. It's really mainly three. Your revenues overall in the top right had budgeted about $480,000. Actual was $590,000. You know, you're $108,000 more than what you expected. Well, the first bullet on the bottom there says, you didn't budget for LGA. That was almost $75,000. I wouldn't say it's unexpected. You know, you knew it, you just didn't budget because of what you want to use it for capital in nature. So it's kind of been a rolling consideration of a variance here for discussion with the audit. But there are a couple other ones on that second bullet that outside of the LGA, you had some one-time small cities grant for $11,000 that came in for the year. And then there's a little bit more for firefighters training and education. So between those two is an additional $22,000, that overall variance. So on the flip side, the second line on the top showing the expenditures, we have a $254,000 variance. The biggest piece of that is that third bullet, you know, the capital outlay, which included $221,000 for mill and overlay for the year. Now, it does appear to be in 2016's budget, but it wasn't here in 2015, so that's where you see it as that variance coming in. Another item that came in that wasn't anticipated in the budget was the roof repairs for the hall, and that was around $30,000.
And finally, and one of the considerations having these expenditures come up was, as much as it is definitely best practice, it's been good to see the city take advantage of setting aside money for other capital and reserve needs. In lieu of these expenditures, we didn't do all of the budgeted transfers out. So we're going to do $8,000 instead, we did roughly $30,000 transfers out for future capital. So that's mainly those 3 points. Pages 9 and 10, other than like the budget focus, these are just trying to give an overall picture for you. You know, I like charts to try and say, you know, where's my trend line? Certain things I expect to be pretty consistent. The main source of revenue being taxes, as you can see that with the blue line up above, how much more significant that is year in, year out, and it's a pretty consistent line. On the offset of page 10, not quite consistent on the expenditures where there has been some fluctuation. Now, two real main points out of this. Overall, $535,000 in 2014 expenditures. 2015 was $684,000. So $150,000 swing from 14 to 15. Well, from what we just talked about budget variances, now you see it. So within the culture and rec for that roof repairs, that's going to be that purple line, second from the bottom. We're all seeing a little bit of a spike up here in 2016. It's a one time. It's not expected to be at that amount going forward, so it'll drop back down to where it was in 2014 is the expectation in 2016. The other spike is within the basically the other category because it includes that capital outlay for the mill and overlay. So going from $55,000 for capital outlay to $241,000, that would be a spike. Now, from looking through what you have for remaining commitment and what your budget was for an increase, you know, it's probably going to be around $150,000 plus to finish that up to what it looks like. Outside of that, page 11, more, you know, still outside of the utilities operations for water, sewer, storm, here's basically a summary of your other
governmental funds into capital projects, mainly street maintenance type projects or equipment replacement. We have a summary here, capital project funds, it's really just two, for capital purchases and for fire equipment. The increase that you had in the year for $25,000 is mainly just the transfers coming in from the general fund for future capital activity. On the debt service fund, here's where, you know, what's being used for taxes, sometimes assessments on improvements. What you have for outstanding debt is roughly $110,000. When you look at the chart, it means roughly $15,000 to $20,000 a year for obligations for these equipment certificates and for street crews. What I will mention is that, as you can see with that truck certificate, 2015 was the final year payment, so $10,000 roughly sitting there for cash that you might want to consider closing in 2016. Likely will make it into your other debt service there. All right, pages 12, 13, and 14. Just kind of keep with the highlights. These charts, we have two of these charts on each of these for the enterprise focus. Kind of the idea being trying to give the focus of kind of like a mini rate study. Now, where's our cash coming in and going out? So when you look at that top chart, what you have for the cash coming in is all combined on the columns on the right within the years. Then where the cash is going out is on the left. Your main cash coming in from your charges, your usage charges, your base rates, that kind of thing, that's going to be the blue line. Ideally, what you want to see is that we're setting our rates. We've got to cover our operations costs, which is gray, and our debt payments, which is green. For the most part, blue is greater than gray and green. On the bottom chart, you're going to see an increase in overall cash. So that's what we see for 2015. A little bit of where it hedged over for our receipts over disbursements in the water, and we see roughly $11,000, $12,000 increase in the water overall cash balance. Part of what that blue did increase in 2015 compared to 14 was the new capital improvement fee that was established in 2015. What's nice to see with, you know, it's kind of that mark within all three of these is what we identify in that bottom chart for the cash is this minimum target balance. You know, if you think of your own checkbook and what you got to pay for a mortgage payment, I can't use what comes in from my paycheck on mid-month to pay for my mortgage in the first of the month. I got to have it set aside already the month before. So the idea is you want to have enough cash to pay your next year's debt payment and then pay, you know, the percentage of your operating costs. We were having this kind of 10% operation benchmark. You're over that minimum target each of the years for water fund and for each of the enterprise funds. If you flip over to page 13, you'll see that that minimum target line on that bottom one that catches your eye, that that's a smaller line just relatively compared to what the debt requirements and payments are compared to water, significantly less. You know, when water has a outstanding bonds of over $625,000, whereas sewer is about $200,000. Doesn't mean, you know, when you look at that, good consideration is where we have for our rate study, what do we have for upcoming projects. Because again, that can kind of like looking at the general fund budget for reserves, that can get eat up real quick with some of the projects. So, but at least you're in a good position to maybe not have to bond the full amount for some of the next projects based on what your current operations are there. Page 14 for storm. This fund has had a transfer in the last couple of years from the general fund to just kind of help with cash flow. But overall, the cash has been pretty steady when you look at that second chart. You know, you're above that minimum target each year within storm. So you're getting closer. You are paying down debt, and cash has been able to maintain that minimum. You know, that keep that trend up as best you can. You know, as you can see within this one, there's not really much of a grade. There's not really much operations that's allocated over to here. So it's mainly having the rates just to cover the debt. Outside of that, on page 15, we go through, you know, the most common question we get from a lot of council is, you know, how are we doing compared to our neighbor? How are we doing compared to others? And so what we do is we go across the whole state, get some information off the state auditor's website, put it within these categories, sort it through, for populations less than 2,500. Because, you know, what good's it do trying to compare Hamburg to Minneapolis? Come on. So within this category, we get a pretty decent reflection of not just who's my neighbor over here in Norwood or Greenough or anything like that, but just across the state, which, to be honest, is pretty consistent within localities. A couple that I'll point out for where you benchmark, the debt to assets. You know, that very first one, end of 2015, 45% compared to roughly 36, 37% for that peer group. What I'll note is that you've been on the trend. You don't want to have too much debt compared to your assets, but considering what you had for recent utility improvements and where the bonds were issued in Water and Storm, you're actually in a good position compared to a lot of outer rural cities in that you have newer infrastructure. You're not pushing it, kicking the can down the road. Where you see that debt service coverage, that second one, that's the reflection of what we just looked at of the three charts earlier within each of the enterprise funds of, is that blue covering the gray and the green? That 99.9% reflects, if you added up all three of those as a whole, how are they doing? They're roughly at 100%. That's good. I mean, considering there's not much other revenue coming in, you're at where you need to be for that. You're not having to dip into too much of cash reserves. So outside of that, one thing that gets picked on is this taxes per capita. I hate that one. You know, growing up, you know, in this area, like, there's so much dependent on which cities are pulling from LGA and have other grants or what's coming in that taxes per capita is pretty construed, because right now you're still included everybody across the metro. I'd say that the better
benchmark of how Hamburg is operating would be the one below current expenditures per capita. So regardless of where your revenues are coming in, how you spend compared to others that are on that 2,500 population as well. And as you can see, historically, you've been anywhere from 70 to 100 bucks less per capita. This year, that increased from 719 to 824. A big part of that is because of road repairs. So it's a one-time current expenditure because it's a repair of maintenance. All right. That's my main highlights. Page 17 and afterwards, that's mainly just upcoming accounting standards. What I'm very, very pleased to say is that none of them will have any close to the impact we have this year that pension stuff repair of the Fire Brigade Association. So that's where we're able to we approve the contract for 4 years audit cost, because looking at the standards, we don't expect the same impact that we can keep a good relationship going for the next several years. Really appreciate your business, and let's set aside time for us to come and present. Not everybody wants to tolerate hearing an accountant go through some numbers, so thank you for your time. Does anybody have any questions?
Has there been any talk, Matt, do you know just off the top of your head, any new Gatsby rules or
there's tons
impacts
of
that,
I mean,
all in the back here that they're...
Yeah, I mean, it's more than we've ever had for what's in here, but a lot of it's tweaking certain things here or there, what we expect for an impact for Hamburg. Like I said, nothing compared to what we had this year. We're looking quite forward to next year.
It'll be easy.
A little bit calm in all these new standards. Somebody out there thinks they're doing a lot of job security, and I'd rather not have it.
Yeah. I guess my only question is that, you know, this is a draft and it says 180. How much actually gets changed for the final report?
Very minimal. So I would say probably 6 out of those 84 pages will change, where it's just capturing what says now, 0 for the fire relief, where I would expect it's probably going to say an overall asset of anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000. I mean, that's the ridiculous piece out of it, too, is that from what we can tell from the most recent reports that they have to do for their audit and submit to the state, it should just about calculate to be an asset. So all this work to not even report a liability anyhow. But good question. I can tell you for sure, nothing out of what we went for the management letter here.
that will change zero. None of that stuff we're waiting on impacts those results. What do you think? You going to keep up with Skype going forward?
I don't know about that.
All right, thank you. Any other further questions? Kind of weird, no motion to approve because we're still in draft.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's nice is the condition that Jeremy's helped us to get it in. Is that as soon as we get those, we can turn them around, so there's no concern with the June 30th overall deadline of getting it submitted to the state. Still able to coordinate coming out here, nice timing in April to come and present the audit. So it was nice what he's helped us out and still be in a good spot, haven't lacked on timing otherwise for finishing things up. Appreciate that, dude. Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Very well
put together. Thank you, sir.
Good evening.
Nice seeing you again. Well, you know, if you ever want to stay out here, you know, we're getting some apartments. You know,
I heard. I don't know if my neighbors would welcome me.
Oh. All right. We'll move on. Old city business. County road maintenance agreement.
They're still working on that, so no... No big changes there, no maintenance agreement completed yet from the county. Other thing I got is just to inform council on the government data practices. So basically, you see there's a couple emails in here. One is a letter from Council Member Odoms to Council Member Lund about asking for his drives back, his hard drive and flash drive. And also there's a letter in there dated March 23rd that I sent to Mr. Odoms, and that basically describes that upon examination of the hard drive, it was unreadable. So as far as we know, well, we don't know if there's any data on it. So my question, you know, to Mr. Odoms would be, is if there is any municipal data on this hard drive.
There was when I made it there. Yeah.
And do you know what that specific data is that would be on the hard drive?
Everything that was on my
So I guess my biggest concern is with the hard drive.
This is my official response.
It's more of your rants that I gotta sit through and read again.
Thank you.
So what are you stating, Mr. Odoms, in this letter? Please elaborate.
I'm stating what the facts are.
Are you once again making an allegation that the loss of your data is my responsibility?
I know that it was on there when I gave it to the FBI.
Well, Mr. Lund...
The FBI either took it off there or somebody took it off after Lund gave it to you. And you said that you gave it to somebody else.
You gave it to me.
No, Chris gave it to you.
Well, you brought it in with Mr. Lund, correct. And Chris gave me the hard drive. I have not touched your hard drive other than picking it up and bringing it to Ms. Dome's office to get the data copied. She sent it to a company and therefore found it was Avtech's examination of the hard drive that it was unreadable. So I have not hooked up this hard drive. I have not touched this hard drive other than giving it to the attorney. And this is what I got back to me. In no way will I take any onus or any blame that I did anything to doctor, touch, or do anything to this hard drive. I find it to be ironic that the hard drive's unreadable. As far as I'm concerned, as far as Ms. Dome's concerned, and as far as the League of Minnesotans is concerned, we have wasted enough money playing these games. I said it at the last meeting we had. I'm done with this. In my opinion, the attorney's opinion and the league's opinion, what they would like it to be known is that it makes no sense to search for the data that may or not be on the hard drive or even be recoverable. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think the city should spend any more money. And in no way do I want any responsibility that, once again, Mr. Odom states in a letter trying to put onus on me because you have some personal thing against me. And like I said, I'm done. That's all I'm going to say. I'm done.
You know, this just doesn't pass the smell test.
I'm sorry that you don't like it. That's what the facts are.
It's just so convenient for you that everything is unreadable, missing, we didn't get it in time. You just played a game.
I can nothing argue with you because those are
you played a game.
And that is my position. If you don't like it, I'm sorry.
I don't like it.
Okay, that's fine.
Period.
That's your prerogative. I don't like your position either. But those are the facts. That is what happened. Period.
You don't ask anybody in here what they think of your process here. And I'm going to say you're going to probably get the same answer right around the board here. I think we've been deceived by you. And
those are pretty strong words.
That's right. Because all this information from August 1st of 2015, you dilly-dallied around. You supposedly sent it. Well, you did send it to the FBI, which will be... You know, this is just so convenient for you. You're reasoning yourself. You're reasoning yourself out of it.
That's what took place.
You know, somewhere in life, you will be accounted for.
You don't even know if that's the real one in the first place. So
this is so bogus.
Yeah, but what's wrong with something else?
Yeah. Can someone summarize the letter since I'm not there to see it?
How would you like, Chris?
It's just basically a timeline that pretty much says that we want the hard drive back. He took it to the FBI on advice of attorney. He picked it up with you and gave it to Jeremy as of March 1st. And he claims that the data was on it when he gave it to the FBI. And he also claims that if the data is missing or unreadable, that it was in Jeremy Grunhagen's possession. And he is pretty much effectively alleging that Jeremy altered or doctored the hard drive.
I know that when I did pick up the hard drive, the detective
who signed the paperwork off and handed Odoms the hard drive did mention the fact that they never touched the hard drive.
I said, according to him, he claims that all the data was on this drive, that he copied it from his original hard drive, which conveniently has failed and was, according to him, shredded at his place of employment. Now, again, he's blaming the city, in particular Jeremy, for he says that if it's unreadable, that it was changed somehow or somebody altered the data or the hard drive here at while it was in possession of the city. That is his like allegation.
Okay. Well, I know Councilman Williams mentioned twice before that he has attempted to copy the hard drive twice, and both times failed twice. It'd be very logical to believe that whatever damaged his two previous hard drives that he shredded would have transferred onto this hard drive and eventually failed this hard drive along the way.
I thought this was a copy in the first place.
It is. Correct, Mr. Odom?
Sorry.
So you don't even know if this is the true information that everybody wants. It's just nothing.
That's why it's, in my opinion, attorneys, and it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Always has been a waste of money. But I agree with Jeremy and Ms. Dome. I don't believe we should pursue this any further because we wasted enough time and energy on this trivial crap and playing Mr. Odom's game because he thinks he's better than everybody else for some strange reason. But yeah, like I said, I don't buy it either, but again, I don't really want to deal with it anymore.
In no way would I tamper with something that is evidence.
Why?
And also, why? I would love to know what's on here. I'm dying to know what's on here, especially what pertains to me, that you've never come forth and provided.
So
why would I tamper with evidence and to assume that it's my responsibility? You know, to me, there again, that's another one of your so-called observations, which I call allegations.
Chris, what's your input on this, Chris?
It's ridiculous. Who would want to work here and put up with this?
Are we supposed to further?
Well, like I said earlier, I think the fact of the matter that Councilman Owens copied this hard drive we have now in our possession more than one time because the two previous ones failed, it would be logical to assume that whatever virus failed the other two would have transferred to this one as somehow would have taken it down. As I stated earlier too, and Councilman Owens should be able to attest to this, is that when we met and got the hard drive from the FBI agent said they never looked at it.
And neither did I.
Now, in this letter from whoever, Chris Swenson, the second step to the recovery process,
that would be the cruel letter.
It says, will fall somewhere between $695 to $1,995. If you choose to proceed with the recovery, the recovered data is returned to you on another form of media. So I'm assuming there's no guarantee that they'll get anything. I don't know.
Correct. There is that possibility that I don't know. Like I said,
they're pretty good, but they still.
Yeah, Kroll is probably one of the best at getting data.
Well, here's my thought. You know, granted, I don't like to spend any more money either, but just, we're this deep into it now, I'd sure like to find something on there.
There's probably nothing on it. There probably never was.
You know?
Again, the problem is with that, Dick, is there is no guarantee that they can get it.
That's just it.
If they do, they may only get fragments, and it may not be anything that we can actually even comprehend, because if it's, sometimes the data is so broken up that they can't even put the bytes back together.
Well, do we have to authorize this tonight to give it back, or can we wait a month?
Well, here's the thing. It's his property. Okay?
Well, what about the information on it?
Well, technically, if there is any on it,
yeah,
that is ours. But the problem we have here is before he gave permission, as we've gone through this whole 18 months and how you've changed your mind over and over and over again, I have a letter that you sent the FBI, three agreements that you allow the city to have the hard drive. So I went out and bought a hard drive. We were in agreeance. Then you come back, change your mind, say you want it back. So you've backpedaled more than my five-year-old kid on a bicycle throughout this whole process. But in order to comply, it is his property. And if he wants it back, city has an obligation to give him his property back.
True.
So if he doesn't want to give us permission, we can't keep his property.
Don't we have a timeline that we can do our investigation though yet?
We've already probably have come past that timeline because we've had it for over a month.
What if I find...
How long has he had it? 18 months without out of our possession?
Well, the FBI had it.
Yeah.
They had a blank piece of paper.
What if I find funds that it won't cost the city anything to do this recovery?
Well,
Mayor Holt?
Yes.
One of the things that when we were going through, we met with Detective Fredrickson and that in discussing the hard drive issue and that. She did mention at that point in time that if Councilman Williams does give us the hard drive, that at any point in time he can pull that back from us without us being able to do any of our own due diligence on our end, because unless he signs off on it, which was the intention when I went with him to get the hard drive, that he was going to sign off on it. Then now that he hasn't signed off on it, we don't have a choice.
This is the biggest joke I've ever gone through here in town on the council, either as councilman or mayor. This is like somebody's walking away free.
Did they stipulate on there at all? They're saying the data on there was unreadable. Is there data on there that's not readable? Is there no data to begin with?
I don't know. We would have to do a further investigation of the hard drive. So the ultimate thing is, do you want to spend more money? I think we have wasted enough taxpayers' money on this whole thing.
I'd have to agree with that. Got way too much money spent.
Well, and that's
way
true.
Too much.
But where do you...
I can speak for the public. We don't know what the data you're fighting about anyway.
Right.
We have no clue. So you've spent
$50,000
too much.
We don't have it. And the thing of it is Mr. Romans claims that the original hard drive that he copied this from cracked and he shredded it. Well, I don't buy that. I find it highly convenient. And the fact that he's actually going on this crap all the time.
Can tell you, I don't know that if he's ever defined exactly everything that was on that hard drive. But what he did state is that he does have city data. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, but he stated that he does have city data, which caused us to pursue and find out what that data is. So technically we don't know what data's on there because Mr. Odoms won't even tell us. And now we finally get the hard drive to find out what data's on there, and it's unreadable.
See,
it's very well be playing. I've got data on you, and you
got
to try to find it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the private data, what we're after to cover for our employees and the city. The public data, anybody can listen to, come to the office here, read it, listen to it, whatever. Closed meeting stuff, which was on this unofficial.
Or on council. I mean, if there are any issues with council, that, you know,
to protect.
It typically is talked in an open meeting, but when you have information that's classified as private data about employees, you have the right to close the meeting, which that's what we've done.
Correct. And I guess what I'm
I've been led to believe for myself in all the meetings that I've attended on this is that there is truly some data that he has, whether it's recording a private meeting or whatever, however he got it, I don't even care.
Steve, that's exactly what it was. What we did, Jeremy will back me up on this, is that in May or whatever, April of 2015? I suggested to the city council that maybe we record the meeting and put him on the city website. City council unanimously approved that to happen. So what happened is I had my laptop here, and I would record the meetings, and I would take them home, and I'd hang out the dead spots and bring them up here on that jump drive, as a matter of fact, right there, Jeremy has. And Jeremy would upload them to the website. So back in probably, what, the fall of that year, 2013, it was discovered, probably later than that, we just routinely recorded everything that was going on. We did not know, and again, Jeremy will back me up on this because he's verified this before, we did not know that we shouldn't be recording those meetings. So that was the data that is considered private that everybody's all excited about. Now, Jeremy, and we didn't even talk about this, last time.
Right. I mean, when we went through this, we didn't even talk or mention the jump drive. And I know what's on the jump drive. I've gotten that data off there.
Yeah. And the same stuff that was on the hard drive, Jeremy, the same private data was off of the, was on the jump drive.
So what you're telling me that what was on there is on here, there's nothing else?
Well, no, of course there's my website pictures and the memorial pictures and all kinds of pictures and stuff.
Complaints about me?
Pardon me?
Complaints about me on the hard drive?
Probably.
And who is it?
Pardon?
Let's reveal it. Who is it?
Who's who? What?
Complaints about me.
I don't know, and I'm not going to get into that. We're talking about the hard drive. And if you want to hang on to the hard drive...
Yeah, but everything comes back to me.
I'm done with this, Dick.
Can I do my job?
I
get on and do what I was hired to do for the taxpayers of the city of Amber? We've gone through the ropes.
But
legally.
And, you know, just to refresh memory, he was even taping stuff when our attorney was here and told him to not.
Exactly.
Right. So you were aware of it.
You knew what you were doing. We learned that we couldn't do that.
So as a council member, Mr. Odoms, how is it that you feel you can use this data to blackmail? What you're doing is blackmailing. You're saying, I've got this data. Hey, come get it.
I'm not saying
and you're
at
playing
all.
This game.
I don't
know
how you
can
enter into this as an employee.
Oh, really?
But be that as it may, the private data that the city attorney was concerned about was basically the meetings that we recorded, not knowing that they should be recorded. So we found out they shouldn't be recorded.
There's nothing else? There's no other private data on here?
I don't know what's on here, Charlie.
Now you don't know what's on here. It's an ever-changing, never-ending story.
Well, like I say, that is my official status on the whole situation.
That changes by the week for this whole
just thing. A moment. Let me talk about your credibility.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to pick on everyone else.
No, it's not going there.
About his credibility, right?
If it's got anything to do with his personal stuff, no.
Okay, we'll talk about it after this.
No, that's not.
It has to do with city business.
Then I think you need to bring it forth to the personnel committee, which you state on your website we don't need.
Right.
Which I think is ridiculous. Every city needs a personnel committee. Why would you think that we wouldn't need a personnel committee?
The only reason you don't need it because he's not on there.
Basically, my reason for saying that is because the city attorney sat right there and said, the city council and the mayor can't be told what's going on with the personnel committee.
We aren't
allowed that. We're on the council. I would think the city council has more authority and more clout than.
Do you understand private data versus public? Yeah. Obviously not.
No, I don't.
Perfect idea is because that way there's individuals that spread it throughout the world. That's why it's not.
By statute. I have no obligation to tell you what it's for.
That's fine.
Same thing for private data.
Why isn't that fine? Why isn't that fine?
I don't know what point you're trying to make.
You never know what point I'm trying to make. That's the problem.
Well, Chris, so what? Should we just give it away and be done with it?
I'm done with it.
I don't know what additional information we're going to find on that corrupted hard drive. If I got to think that it's going to be in the same boat that the two previous ones were in, that Councilman Odoms took to Mystic and had. Sure.
I do have one question. If he, Mr. Odom, does not have data, all of a sudden this does come out eventually, is that basically a
breach?
Go back after him as a defamation of character? Or that something become, to that,
that
extent?
Might still more become a civil suit.
Right, but I'm just saying, if all of a sudden this information comes out or it gets oopsed, it would be something back on to Mr. Odoms or a defamation of character to somebody else. I guess I'm just saying, I say call it good, something comes out, it's going to go back on whoever we know would let it out. What? That's the way I sit on it as a taxpayer. I understand Dick was going to say something that, you know, if all of a sudden he could find the money to, with gold, more search for this in-depth look, we can take that option. Coming from me, I'm tired of it too. But if all of a sudden this information does come out, we kind of have an idea where it's coming from. And then how did you have it and get it?
Well, I think the city, and you can chime in, Chris, but I believe the city's done their due diligence.
Yeah, I think we've done, without spending any more money and time and resources to even get to where we are today, I think we've exhausted enough of that. We've done everything we can to make sure that the city was a slap of a lawsuit. I think we averted that issue, so that's a good thing there. Unfortunately, we just keep running into roadblocks when it comes to the data that we've been just trying to secure back. And the whole idea behind this to begin with was just to make sure that recordings from the closed meetings are not on the drive anymore and nothing else. I mean, that's really what we're going after, just to ensure that that take place. And we had the cooperation of Councilman Odoms back in that August meeting. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. We thought we had the hard drive back from the FBI in good working condition. Obviously, that didn't happen. And now we're here where we are today. And so we could spend another $3,000 on search fees. That doesn't include whatever other legal fees or any other potential closed meetings that could take place because of it. If taxpayers want us to move forward and continue, yeah, I guess we can. But my thought is that I think we've done everything from a due diligence standpoint. And to your point, Jared, if something does come out, obviously we're going to know what the source is, because the source we have right now, we can't get that information.
And I guess the way I feel is, let's quit. We have an engine we have to pay for on the fire department side. I know a few more streets could probably get looked at again. I mean, let's just, if it comes out, we know where it come from. I've been here all my life. I want it to look good, look pretty, like back when it did in 94. Every house looked the same, every yard looked pretty, and everything was gorgeous here. I say we get back to it.
Sure, nothing's going to come out because there's nothing to come out because I don't have anything.
Okay, but if it does, we
it's not
do.
Going to. There's nothing to come out.
Okay, I'm just saying, there. If there's that possibility, I'm not saying it would, but if it does.
There's nothing. I didn't say
it. Just a moment. I have to agree with Jared. I think you spent enough money. Even if you were to miraculously find some money to search that hard drive again, whatever you find down there is probably not going to be what you're looking for. What is to say that the last two hard drives that were shredded had any information on them? Even if he's got record of them being shredded, there's just there's so many lies that have come out of all of this that you can't believe anything anymore. And it's time to just put it to bed. I guess with Jared, I sat through this meeting when the attorney was here describing public data and private data. My takeaway from that is that the recordings from personal closed meetings is sitting private data.
Right.
And nobody, no elected official, can share that information in any way, shape, or form. If it does leak out, it's a personal issue on that person, not the city official. Which, if data does come out, anything comes out anywhere, you know where it came from, and it's a personal issue, it's not a city issue. So the city has spent enough money.
One of the problems was some of the private data was on an unofficial website.
How did it get there?
City councilmen
cannot share that information.
That's the problem of this whole money being spent.
So it's not a city issue, it's a personal issue.
No, it's a city issue. It's a city issue because it's city data that was at a private closed meeting that was on somebody's own personal website that had no affiliation with the city, but yet contained private city info, which is a no-no. So if it was your website that had that stuff on, who would we look at to get after? You. Your website. Am I right?
I think
that's who you'd look after.
It's too much spent.
Well, I agree. But I hate to be duped.
He still broke the law. He still broke the breach. He still did wrong, you know.
Did we at least get something back off of that zip drive, Jeremy? Yes, no?
Some the flash drive.
Yes, the flash drive is what I'm talking about.
Correct.
Okay.
Whatever was on there, I have.
You do have the
copied
flash drive
over.
Completely empty. There's nothing on there anymore.
Well, we've okay. Trashed this around enough.
Yep.
Otherwise, we look for a motion from the council what they want to do. If they want to say goodbye with it, then that's it tonight. And we're going to have a motion, and it's going to go one way or the other.
My move is we drop this whole fair. Like I said, as the taxpayers have stated, we spent enough money and enough time on this, and we're not any closer than we were how many months ago.
I agree there,
so
100%.
That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Also, before you make that motion that we provide, Mr. Ohms, and you can all witness that I haven't tampered with it, and we will be providing Mr. Odoms' flash drive and his hard drive that he sent to the FBI and then was in our possession for a while, that we are giving it back to Mr. Odoms.
You want to include that on there?
Because we should have a motion.
An addendum to the motion to do include the return of Mr. Owens' hard drive as well as his flash drive.
Is there a second from anybody?
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to drop the investigation, spending money, whatever, on getting information off the hard drive with the addendum that the hard drive is given back. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstained.
Carried.
So as you can see, anything that was private data items I've taken off this hard drive, the flash drive, the other information that is public, you will have. See that? Public can see that. This is what's on the flash drive.
Oh, man, I'm looking out here in my life.
So I don't.
don't get accused of anything else. You're okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, I will do that. Okay. All right.
Do you have any scenario formatted?
Nope. All right, moving on. Mr. Schultz has been waiting long enough.
He's probably used to it.
For Water and Wastewater Services, first pond release was done. I transferred the water from ponds 1 and 2 into 3 and have now blocked them off, and we'll let the bacteria and the sun do its work, and hopefully we can have a second release before June 15th, depending on water sampling and testing. This last week, the lift pumps at the lift stations were serviced for the year. Everything came all good on that. Started putting red rock in the alleys, and tomorrow afternoon the truck is going to go into OEM services for repairs. We got some issues with the bed on there. It's pretty bent up, and the tailgate doesn't lock and hold in, and it'll fall off and everything else. So they're going to cut some pieces out and weld some pieces in and get that back in working order. So when that gets back, then I'll continue. That's the red rock pile in the parking lot over there. That'll get spread in the alleys. So I got two done, but I got three more left to do. But turned on the water in the baseball park. That's up and running. They got their first game on Saturday over there. Park shelter roof is complete. Did a bunch of work to the lawnmower this year. Starting to show its age. Belts, hydros, filters. We had one main blade hub that was cracked on there, and ended up spending about $750 to $800 on it in parts. But it's a good lawnmower. It should be good now. It should be good for a few more years. It's just a lot of wear parts on it because of the hours and that. So. Let's see. On the basement down there, I tore some sheetrock off in spots, bathroom, on certain walls and stuff. I've attained one bid on it so far. I haven't got it back yet. But we had talked last time about taking the walls down and doing everything all over, and that's not going to be necessary. There's no rot in them or anything. They're nice and solid, and so I think that'll come in a little bit cheaper than what we had thought. We'll just basically do the bottom layers of sheetrock. The bathroom has some rot behind the shower on some of the 1-inch furring, which isn't that big a deal. That'll get torn out and replaced with a whiteboard in there.
Is that like 4 feet up from the floor, about as high as
The mold is actually probably about 2.5 to 3 feet is all the higher it goes. So actually on the office walls and stuff there, probably even cut it off down below the 4 feet so all the moldings and everything don't have to come off around the windows and take a chance of busting them and having issues and having to replace all that, trying to keep the cost down is good. As much as possible. I got to get another bid too, but that's kind of where we stand there. We're not going to do anything. I tore off in that what's now the old bar room there. That's not wet behind there, so that room's going to be left alone. There's no mold up on the sheetrock on the inside of that.
Just didn't we ask anybody about tearing that old?
Well, that was if. That was if we had to redo the whole thing rather than spend the money on it. I think for right now, We never got an answer on basically if they're going to be using that in the future or not. And
well, I can probably enlighten you a little bit. They're fine with that going.
They're fine with it going?
They will meet in there, just some chairs and a table.
Okay.
Like fire department did years ago.
Okay.
Because I talked to Ed Lick, who is evidently the president, and I talked to Digga and some other ones on the Hamburg and Hunting Fishing Club, and they're fine with it. It's just if and when we should let them know, because they would get their, there's pictures and stuff they would gladly take out, and so be it.
Okay. Well, I thought that we weren't going to tear it down and rebuild it. I thought if it didn't
need it or
whatever.
No, we're not going to rebuild it.
Yeah.
It would be just gone.
Yeah. So do we want to take it out of there?
Well, that's up to the council.
I mean, basically all it is a few four-foot sheets of sheetrock along the outside that got a little wet. I mean, the biggest problem there is a lot of the sheetrock was set right on the floor. So that's where it wicked it up.
Sucked.
You know, so like I said, some is worse than others. Some places, you know, there's mold about this high, and some places it goes up 2.5 feet. So, like I said, the board's solid, so we don't need to replace all the walls and everything.
When I first got at the council, Jeremy and I took a tour of that. As I recall, the place was kind of a rest. It was just kind of a storage area and whatnot. And, you know, it didn't seem like it served any real purpose.
Yeah.
You can use the extra space down there, and, you know, it looks like it kind of cramped as it is. I would think that, you know, if the Hunting and Fishing Club is in favor of the going, you know, I would think, you know, if they have maybe some more space for your stuff and modernization,
yeah.
I think that would be
it. It don't matter to me. It can go bye-bye, too, so.
It's just if we so choose, I gotta let them know.
What's that?
I say if the council so chooses that, we gotta let them know.
Well, if they're happy just with having a table and chairs down there.
It didn't bother them. They've got some other things in the works anyhow, the way it sounds, so.
Greg, what's your opinion? You know, you're the one that's down there, uses it. See any need to keep that, or be better to open it up, or?
I don't really see a need to have it there, you know. Could always use a space, so, you know. If it doesn't need to be there, you know, they could keep their refrigerator or whatever in there. They got a couple of pitchers and stuff in there. They're probably going to want out of there. The furniture's from the 60s.
Yeah, the refrigerator they'd put on the wall by an outlet.
Yeah.
And so be it.
Okay.
That was talked about too. So
yeah.
They just would need a little warning if we decide.
Yeah, it could actually go bye-bye because we can always use the room. You know, we've added some equipment in the last couple of years and it's, you know, I could use the space, so. But.
I mean, if at that rate it doesn't pay to tear to 4 feet and redo.
No, then we'll just tear it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I could just go bye-bye. That's fine.
So I guess if once you get bids or something, you know,
yep.
let know so the city lets know to them.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Do we need a motion to do that, to tear that down so that they can be notified then or not?
I don't know. It would really have to be.
Yeah, we could just let them know.
Yeah.
If they don't have any, I mean, they could still have their meetings down
right.
there.
And
if they got a bunch of people, they can't all stuff in that little room.
That's
anyway.
What he said.
Yeah.
If they have a real poor turnout, they might sit in there that night.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
they're
they got
out
a
in the common
tables
area
down
anyway.
There. Okay.
There's going to be an enclosure around where the pop sits, though, right? That'll be in a room yet.
Yeah,
nothing will change.
Okay.
The pop room will be the pop room, and the office will be
it'll
the
all
office.
Be whiteboard.
The bathroom will be,
We talked about putting new pop lines in there, maybe using the bangers.
Well, we've, me and Greg have kind of addressed that, and we had them come out, clean the lines, replace the, you know, the little tabs on there that let you know what the pop is and that. And we talked about bags, and I don't know. It's kind of a, Greg's thinks he's got a good system now of keeping stuff from leaking or what, and we're just worried about if the bags get punctured, what kind of mess is that, or I don't know. We've talked about it, and it's kind of horse apiece. I don't know what, Greg, you got 2 cents to add, or?
We have an issue, too, that people complain all the time, and I'm just going to explain this if you'll bear with me here, but people complain about the pop of bartenders that everything is always foaming. And I was told the reason for that is because there's frozen ice, and then there's, like, ice machine ice. Frozen ice, like if you go to the store and you buy frozen ice and you put your pop in there, and it'll fizz and your ice cubes are clear. Well, that ice is 0 degrees or below. Ice machine ice is 32 degree ice. 32 degree ice will, I never knew this, but I thought that ice is ice. It freezes at 32. The reason for that foaming all the time is because we put in there bagged, bought, frozen ice. And it shocks that system because it's so cold. That's the reason for the foam.
And that's why the refrigerator is cloudy. It's got air molecules in it.
Yeah. And so that's what's causing the, because several of the Lions and other people have talk to me about that it's so hard, they got to take pictures and fill up and it's all foam and they got to wait. Well, that's the reason for it, is because we're using frozen ice. And he said a lot of bars are having this issue now. They had ice machines. Their ice machines have gone bad and they didn't want to spend the money. So now they're buying bagged ice and they're also running into the problem. And he said the only way to get away from it is to basically have your own ice machine or make your own 32 degree ice, and it's not going to shock the system and you won't have the foam. Mm-hmm. And I guess when he explained it to me, it makes sense. But,
so we have to have warmer ice.
We have to have warmer ice, yeah. I mean, it made sense. So when he explained it to me, like he said, like you take ice cubes out of your freezer and you put them in. He said they're always going to be cloudy. And he said, you know, your pop isn't going to, it doesn't fizz as much as if you put like the ice, bagged ice in there, because you're shocking the system.
I mean, think of it as same as temperature.
Yeah,
I go outside ice and it's 32.
It's at 32 degrees.
No. You're going to notice a difference if you go outside and it's 15.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the,
when he explained that, he said that there's nothing we can do about it. He said as long as we got pop like this, he said it's going to be an issue. And he said it's becoming more of an issue because people aren't replacing their own ice machines now and stuff. So that's, we got
a scientific study tonight. Yeah.
Talk to the Lions about that too, because I know, like Joel Frank had just said, you know, see if you got the pressure set wrong. And I have never played with the pressures, and he looked at it and he said, no, he said, don't touch it. Everything is just what it is. He said, what kind of ice do you use? And when I told him, we went up and looked in the freezer. That's what he explained to me. Yeah. So I learned something new that day. Yeah. So, but. All right, well, I'll maybe call that first big guy back and just say we want to demo that whole room. And so we can do that, too, for that on the bid then. So are we going to rehire Mel for this summer for lawn cutting? Are we going to make a motion on that and get him? You know, the grass is starting to grow down in the park already, and it's supposed to get a few days in the 70s. I got a feeling it's going to come pretty fast here once it starts to warm up. So
the water on down there,
Greg? The water is not on at this park yet. I turned it on up here today because of the baseball games. But
we typically wait till mid-May, right? I think that's when they say, because it still can freeze up to that point.
Yeah.
So we typically try to... We've had enough problems.
I was going to wait
with that park.
I was going to wait
and the piping down there. So we really,
always
wait till mid-May, just so we don't want to avoid. We want to avoid any major issues, and especially after having to repipe it to get it to work again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So when do we get a handicap bathroom down there again? When is that?
Whenever you guys want that, I can order that anytime. So.
I mean, kids are playing down there. It's getting warm.
I would say we should probably get that shortly here because, yeah, people are starting to show up at the play structure. And
can we anchor that somehow? Is there some holes in there that can run a couple rods in? Or
I could look. If there are, I could sure drive some down into the blacktop. I know where I could probably find some spikes along the railroad tracks. There's a lot of them laying there.
Plenty there.
Yeah.
If you plant the lawnmower well.
Just for storm or vandalism.
I am constantly moving that thing and pushing it. Last year it tipped over in the island.
Ended up in a monument, so.
Yeah, it was in the monument last year on that storm, so. I'll look once if there is.
I don't know, just for how it looks. It seems like the one we had there last year always looked like it was spread open. You know, like the door didn't fit, or maybe that's because it wasn't anchored. You know, it just didn't
look presentable.
No.
Do we want that for this weekend already, or what's Council's wishes? Usually, deliver on Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to get the tables into that shelter and stuff too, and get the garbage barrels out and stuff this week too. So,
whenever.
Maybe that way we won't have the smashed oranges and hard-boiled eggs and glass all over the parking lots. Maybe they'll use the garbage cans then. I got a feeling it's going to be a bad summer. We've got a lot of vandalism down there already this year. A lot of cleanup that shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, uncalled for.
Yeah, a lot of cleanup down there.
Well, I guess it's something to urge, just if anybody drives along, keep your eyes open, and whatever. If it's at night, call it in. Nobody's supposed to be down there.
I don't know when it's happening. Like I said, I've cleaned up oranges, I've cleaned up a lot of hard-boiled eggs, now there's broken glass all over. We just swept that parking lot. A few days ago, the street sweeper was in town, and now it's broken glass again, so.
I mean, it sounds pretty deliberate.
Yeah, I know. Somebody doesn't like me.
Okay, and discussion for Mel. Make a motion, are we, and when he should start? End of the month?
Well, didn't we budget for May through September? May, June, July, August, September. I think we budgeted for 5 months.
I think so. See, so the end of the month. Then.
So call them around the end of the month.
Yeah, so you could start the first.
Okay.
First of May.
I talk to him a couple of times a week when he's driving through town or whatever. Yeah. So I'll just tell him first part of the month or whatever.
Motion first part of the month here that
rehire
Mel be rehired.
If he's interested.
Yeah.
He is, we've already.
Okay.
Kind of with the same agreement as last year. And
okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded again to contact Mel Springler to be our part-time summer help, hopefully starting May 1st. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
That's pretty much all I got. If you guys got questions for me.
You're down there blew the leaves out of the rose bushes down there, and out the rest of them, and previously been down there and cut that long grass down. And I just hammered it down there and put new dirt in the flower pot so that your wife and whoever else works with it can
flower. Those two are? Okay.
But the lilies that we planted, apparently they have to get replanted every year. They don't survive the winter. And so Stan's working on something, talking to Brad about doing something differently so that we don't have to keep putting the lilies there. What I suggested, and I guess probably keeping the council things, is get some of those little round stone things, they're like trivets, and put them where these lilies were, and then get potted plants that you can put in there or something. That was just a thought. Anybody else here who might have any other ideas there?
That's her department, I'll tell her.
And then also, there's a tree, one of the trees, I think it was the West Wing, right? It's split in the crotch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and put a threaded rod through that and see that that's really all we can do.
Yeah.
Put a threaded rod with some washers on there and hold it together, and hopefully it kind of grows around it and grows back together. So. Yeah, I think we'll try and thread that. I talked to Bob Shanahan about that, and he actually said he's had very good luck with that. And he said, he said that as that tree heals, where the thing is, he said a lot of times they heal and come over and they'll just kind of cover it up, and the only one who pays for it in the long run is whoever saws it down and hits it with their chainsaw later. So.
Well, Stan says he's not an arborist, so he doesn't know what to do about the trees.
Yeah, well, that's what I think I'll do. I think I'll just buy a threaded rod and drill a hole through it, and we'll try and save it that way. And otherwise, yeah, it'll probably have to be replaced, but try and save it.
When is Greg going to finish the blacktop?
He'll have more of an idea at the next council meeting.
On that flagpole at the park down here, Greg, is that going to blow over?
The flagpole?
Yeah. And the wind's blowing this way, it'll go this way.
I wouldn't climb up it in the wind.
No, I wouldn't either. It must not be in the ground very deep.
I don't know, but it's got a lot of movement to it.
It goes back. What's that?
Which one are you talking about? By the lift station?
Yeah, the state flag one. Yeah.
Pretty sure that is just set in sand.
Oh. Yeah, it's, like I said, I won't even try and go up there with a ladder anymore to... Because that thing moves so much that the whole...
Well, do we have to get the guy out to fix this one?
Say,
yeah.
And we'll get that one in.
Is that the guy you get on Highway 7 over towards in between Silver Lake and Hutch?
Yeah.
And if you have to dig that one up and put a cement down in, I think that would be... The last time the flag was blown, I thought, holy cow, that's a... She's going to go over, but...
Yeah,
oh, it's so doggone windy, it blew everything over.
Yeah, I know, but...
I kind of remember putting the wheels in there, and it was purposely set in sand, so that
thank you
can't avoid the wind rather than breaking off.
Oh, thank you.
And there was a design of it set in sand, I don't know how it can be it loose, because as it wiggles, the sand settles down and makes it tighten.
Yeah, I don't know, like I said, I know I put a ladder up there to try and change the flag, and the thing will move 2 feet.
Yeah.
I won't even try it again.
Maybe there'll have to be a stiffer flagpole put up or something. Or something like that. I don't know.
Anything else for Greg? Otherwise, if not, thank you.
I got
Oh, go ahead.
I got one.
Sorry, it's a little long distance.
The lions, we think we have about $980 for the trees. I got the map, and I gave it to Bruce. And I guess there's an auction that's coming up here in maybe the first part of May.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if you wanted to prioritize your list of trees.
Sure, I can do that. I can do that, no problem.
Good.
I'm wondering how much each tree goes for. I've never been to one of the tree auctions.
Been 12 years, so my prices are going to be way skewed, so.
I know what you're going by on there, $200, $300, $400, depending on the tree.
No.
But I don't know, I've never been to a tree auction.
You still got that list?
Yeah, I got that. How much did you say you had, Chris? $900?
Yeah, about $980.
So about $1,000.
I know I was looking at some online.
Eight to ten.
But I don't know how big they are, like how mature they are. I mean, obviously we don't want saplings. You want to ask them, we don't have to do a lot of work when they first get put in there.
When you buy online, that's usually what they send you, the saplings.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I'll do that. I'll prioritize the efficiency of the boss and go from there. Anything else?
Anything else for Greg? All right, thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, Jeremy.
Okay, that time of year again on just doing the work comp renewal. Probably about the last 3-4 years, we've always had coverage
accident coverage for city volunteers. Do we want to continue with that?
That's not very much.
No, about $150.
Yeah.
Yeah, I move that we continue with the accident coverage for city volunteers.
Good. Motion made and seconded to move in with the accident coverage for city volunteers. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
I don't know if anybody remembers getting emails, but me and Chris have kind of, well, Chris kind of sent me an email, and more I've thought about it is having an agenda sent by email, the whole agenda. We'd scan it, email it, then you got it. And I guess I don't know as far as the printing out, if we wanted to print out if you need it, or you could print it at home, or and then once we do that and scan it too, we can also then put the whole agenda on the website. So just looking for council's input on that.
Sounds fine. You'll have to run up here and get it then.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to just have it on that format, just so it's easier to post it online. Plus, then it's easier to share if anybody else wants a copy of it. As well as, and you probably still have to keep a hard copy at the meeting for the general public.
Yep.
But I think us counselors, there should be no reason why we can't read it offline like that.
Has Mr. Odom Zazu, have you been getting the website? Do you get that yet or not? I know on the one paper you said that you haven't gotten it yet.
No.
Okay. Cool.
Email's all working now.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Otherwise, if I have a motion that it goes electronic.
I make a motion that we the meetings and go electronic and have a hard copy here for the public to look at.
Your second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to go electronic, but the agendas and such, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
Has there been a bill for ink and paper in the city campaign?
Are you okay down there?
Yeah, I just had to move to my third location.
Put down that bourbon.
What's that?
Put down that bourbon.
There's no bourbon here. We have city business to do.
Good answer.
Well, you can't see ours here.
Well, he can see you.
All right. Anything else, Jeremy?
That's all I got.
Okay. I got one question. Great law about vandalism. Do you think maybe we need a little more control? Because I know I walked out my place and there were four kids that are out milling around and they're not doing what they should be doing.
What helps me is if people can either call the sheriff's office of suspicious activity so it gets recorded,
okay,
or even best to call me and let me know the times. So then we can relay that to, like, a CSO officer and have them patrol at that time to try to deter some of the stuff that's going on.
I think the wife actually went outside and ran across it. Everybody knows where the across the way is, the old original fire hall.
Yep.
Group of four kids were trying to get in there, and then they went to the neighboring place that has open house every now and again, and all of a sudden they disappeared for a while. So, concerned about my elder neighbor and basically his property that he owns, I'm just concerned for him and that building. Being as
I would
just call it in.
Yeah, I would.
And that's what I was going to probably try and do. But
call it in.
As soon as she told me, they were gone. They peeled out. And if it was up to me, I would have found their bikes and said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
when I
came home from work last
summer,
it did.
Midnight,
you know, they're down there
underneath
the shelter.
Call it in.
I would highly
they got
recommend.
No business down there at that time.
Yep, and so I just wanted to make sure I want to get it on record, yep, and that I'm proud.
Because unfortunately, we're not, you know, open 24/7. Yep. So if you see it, okay. I mean, it's the reason why we do contracting with policing. It's why we do the CSO too, to
right,
help these things, or even just to get the patrol. So, and it helps to give them the time too.
Yep.
You know, or...
Didn't we talk about, you know, having these kids that are out after curfew being tagged?
Oh, yeah.
But nothing would happen or something? Is that kind of what happened?
Remember that?
I'm trying to remember.
You thought about doing that, but then you looked into it and the county wouldn't prosecute
it. Well, you couldn't put no teeth into it. Send them home.
And I guess if the city could tell the county, you know, not when we call us, tell the county if you get a call and there's kids in the park after hours, we'd like to have a site.
Yeah, we can do that.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Something else a little bit on the more of the stealth side of putting up the trail cameras.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
We've talked about it.
They'll be destroyed or whatever too.
But I will call it in next time. Like I said, I didn't call it in half hour later, and they were gone. So I just didn't know proper steps when I figured I would ask me.
Yeah.
Well, they must have got a rifle here, didn't they, last fall? The fireman's axe.
The axe now it was, yeah. Rifle's been like three times at least.
Because, you know, they'll... You know, they see the flash, and then they'll go for that, too.
Yeah. So, I'll keep more track on it, and depending on how I'll get more time.
Even spread the word to the department members.
Yeah.
If they see something, call it in. Who cares? Norwood Paper's got a lot of places where it says suspicious activity was reported. Oh, yeah. Da-da-da.
Is it after 10, Mark?
10 o'clock is what the sign says, I think.
Okay.
It would be even good to have an officer stop in or a meeting once just to introduce himself.
Yeah, and any description you got is great, too, to write down any distinctive features like green and orange bike, you know, or just anything that so they have something to look for or go on. Yeah.
Jared, I'm sorry, I'm one of those people who don't know where you live or what street.
The old Burke Fire Hall. Hold on.
Old City
Hall. Block up from Ballfield.
Okay.
On the truck route. My house is on your website.
That little German house? How long have you lived there?
5 years almost. 4 years, 5 years.
Because when I saw that, I had a few door.
Jeremy, you got anything else?
Nothing else.
No. Okay, we'll look for March added claims. Would be...
March should be in your packet.
I move to approve the two ACE credits, payments, and the check number 17875 for a total of 67,1837 for March.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve checks 17875 and the two Etch payments, am I right?
Correct.
For a total of $6,718.37. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. We'll move on to the April claims so far.
Yeah, so we got the April's claims list, and then we have the kind of the more descriptive listing, which is the unpaid bills detail. And just one thing I want to mention, that if council wants anything more descriptive on the claims or wants to see the actual bill, they're more than welcome to, you know, come visit or look at any of the bills if they want a more descriptive or more itemized description. I mean, I think we try to do the best we can on the claim description and the unpaid details of what the bill reflects.
All right. Any questions on the April claims so far?
On 17901, is that a error or no? What is that?
That's a fire equipment.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Greg got a freeze kit or something on the
F&E. No. That's usually fire department expense.
Just to explain.
Are they gobble or something? 52 millimeter frames?
They are. We got a couple fireman members here. It's 52 millimeter frames.
Yeah,
and
that is a safety issue for one of our guys that need glasses.
Looks also there was some flow testing and air pack maintenance done. Right. And then just to explain, a lot of my supplies were, I purchased Microsoft Office for Greg, his computer.
Okay.
I didn't buy the monthly thing because I figured once you have it, it's $125 and you got it instead of paying $10 a month. Purchased Greg new printer, new cartridges for, we've saving pretty good amount of money, had good luck with these new cartridges,
yeah.
So, they're about half the price. So,
otherwise, if we're in agreement, I'd look for a motion.
I move to accept the 5 ACH payments and check numbers 17876 through 17912. For a total April claim amount as of 4/12 for $23,308.58.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve the 5 ACH payments and checks number 17876 to 17912 for a total of $23,308.58. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. We'll move on to council reports. Councilman Adams.
No, I answered all my questions.
Councilman Bob.
I have two things. One of them Mr. Adams touched on. I was wondering when Brad was going to get back to the street project. He said we'll know more about that in May, so.
Yep.
And I know we've done this before, and we haven't really talked about it yet, but the city cleanup day, are we planning one at all this year?
We did not plan nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of
got burned.
Yeah, we kind of got burned hard on that, yeah, the one
yeah,
year we did it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Well, when is Norwood Young America's cleanup?
I don't know the exact dates, but it's usually May and September, isn't it?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, they have one
April,
in
May, and
so you're entitled to take stuff there too.
Well, I guess
you know a big help too is it's nice you can go to Green Isle there and get rid of your stuff. Don't cost you nothing.
Appliances and
yeah,
such.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I was more thinking along with if we were going to do it, should we do an electronics portion as well? Because everybody has old electronics, they have old TVs, old computers, whatever they want to get rid of. And obviously, they don't normally take that. They have special days for that. I know most of the other counties do it. Dakota County does it. Savage, which is in Scott County, they do it as well.
Carver County does.
I don't know whether or not
Carver County does
yeah.
that. Norwood.
Carver County do one?
Yeah, Norwood.
In Norwood, okay.
Yeah, at the parking lot of the high school.
Will they take electronics there?
Probably for a fee.
Well, I don't know.
You've
got to go
almost,
take that to Chaska.
Yeah. Or, I don't know if they do yet anymore, but Best Buy sometimes will take your electronics.
They cut that out. It's a fee.
Did they?
Is
it a fee? I figured. Yeah, so, yeah, almost everybody charges a fee to get rid of appliances
yeah,
or electronics. And I don't know if they take TVs out there. I've never.
No, it's.
I don't think so. But like a,
no,
your water heater or your dishwasher or your dryer or whatever, they'll take all that out there, so.
That's all I got.
Chris?
The only thing I had for this evening was that for kids is going to be on the 23rd, so those who haven't signed up yet, we do have some volunteer slots to open.
Okay. Anything else? That's it?
No, I'm good.
Thank you. Steve?
I'm good.
I got one thing that's probably 4 months away, but National Night Out that we get so the FD knows if they want to start arranging for any kind of event or somebody to come or things like
yeah.
that. You know, so sooner the better.
Yeah.
That way you got it.
If we keep the same routine, that seems to work well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that won't be far away.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yes.
And other than that, I don't have anything either. Anything else from the city? Otherwise, I'd look for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. Now you're going to go for the...
You can pull the Jack Daniels out, money.
Oh, I don't have it yet.